We've been talking about God as our sovereign God, and I guess it's a topic that we kind of almost want to avoid, just because it can be a little bit scary to think about God as a sovereign God who executes vengeance. I suppose it's a frightening thing to stand before an angry God. Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon that sort of set off the restoration movement in this country, and it was called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I don't know if you've ever read that sermon, but I would take issue with some of the way that he approaches God's anger, but nevertheless, it does a lot to help us to understand who God is and what our relationship to him is. In Romans, the 12th chapter, at verse 19, the Apostle Paul reflected on all of this, and I'll be reading extensively this morning from the English Standard Version. It's a little bit easier to understand, and I think it brings it down to earth a little bit more than the King James does. In the English Standard Version, the apostle writes this: "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." You know, it has always been the habit of God to execute judgment. You just can't read the Bible without seeing God executing his vengeance on those people who, well, to put it bluntly, had rebelled against God. They had done everything that they could to go the other way from what God wanted them to do. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, marvelous passage. I wish we had time to read the entirety of it, but read it when you get home. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Deuteronomy is, in many ways, Moses retelling the history of Israel and reminding them of a lot of things that they needed to know if they were going to continue to worship a sovereign like Jehovah. Psalms, the 78th chapter. David, a man after God's own heart, a man who had experienced the great mercy of God on a number of different occasions. He numbered the people of Israel. God brought judgment because he was not supposed to do that. And then God extended mercy. He raped Bathsheba. God extended mercy. So many times, David has rejected God. And he talks about how God brings judgment. Psalm 78. Again, long passage. I wish we could read the whole thing this morning, but we can't. We can read Romans, the 1st chapter, though. Beginning at verse 18. This is what the apostle says. God shows his anger from heaven against all the evil and wrong things that people do. Their evil lives hide the truth that they have. This makes God angry because they've been shown what he's like. Yes, God has made it clear to them. These are things about God that people cannot see. His eternal power and all that makes him God but from the beginning, or since the beginning of the world, these things have been easy for people to understand. They're made clear in what God has made. So people have no excuse for the evil that they do. People knew God, but they didn't honor him as God. They did not thank him. Their ideas were all useless. There was not one good thought left in their foolish minds. They said they were wise, but they became fools. Instead of honoring the divine greatness of God who lives forever, they traded it for the worship of idols. Things made to look like humans who get sick and die, or the birds and animals, snakes. People wanted only to do evil. God let them. He let them go their sinful way. So they became completely immoral. They used their bodies in shameful ways with each other. They traded the truth of God for a lie. They bowed down, worshiped the things that God had made instead of worshiping the God that made them. He's the one who should be praised forever. Amen. I look around me and I see ungodly people. The American Standard Version says, in their ungodliness, they suppress the truth. The English Standard Version says, their ungodly lives hide the truth. And frankly, they're without excuse. And we understand that. God's wrath is executed. Sometimes it's executed by agents that act on his behalf. We've seen it in government. Government should act as God's agent. It doesn't always do that. We've seen instances where the government acts against the interests of God. But God intended for government to be his agent. Romans, the 13th chapter. And at verse 4, he says, rulers are God's servants to help you. That's the way it's supposed to be. If you do wrong, you have reason to be afraid. They have the power to punish, and they will use it. They're God's servants to punish those who do wrong. So they work as God's agents. Sometimes individuals work as God's agents. Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 6, he says it this way. Sometimes someone close to you might secretly persuade you to worship other gods. It might be your own brother, your son, your daughter, the wife you love, or sometimes your closest friend. They might say, let's go and serve other gods. These are gods that you and your ancestors never knew. They're the gods of the people who live in the other lands around you, some near, some far away. You must not agree with them. Don't listen to them or feel sorry for them. Don't let them go free or protect them. You must kill them with stones. You be the first one to pick up a stone and throw at them. Then everyone must throw stones to kill them because they tried to pull you away from the Lord your God. And it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt when you were slaves. Then all the Israelites will hear about it and be afraid, and they will not do those evil things anymore. But we don't do that today. We don't pick up stones and stone those people that are evil. But the principle is true. 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, and at verse 10, he gives us an illustration of how, just how, we should not protect those people that do evil, but we ought to recognize that it's evil. 2 Thessalonians 3, beginning of verse 6. Brothers and sisters, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we tell you to stay away from any believer who refuses to work. People who refuse to work are not following the teaching that we gave them. You yourselves know that you should live like we do. We're not lazy. We were not lazy when we were around. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked and worked so that we could not be a burden to any of you. We worked night and day. We had the right to ask you to help us, but we worked to take care of ourselves so that we should be an example that you should follow. When we were with you, we gave you this rule. Whoever will not work should not be allowed to eat. We know that some people in your group refuse to work. They're doing nothing but being busy in the lives of others. Our instruction to them is stop bothering others. Start working and earn your own food. It is by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are urging them to do this. Brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. That's an amazing statement. In the middle of this reading, never get tired of doing good. You think, well, I ought to feed this man. He's hungry. He says, don't. You're God's agent. If there are some who refuse to work, what we tell you in this letter, to refuse to do what we tell you in this letter, remember who they are. Don't associate with them. They may be, then maybe they'll feel ashamed. Sometimes it's the church that's the agent. 1 Corinthians 5, we read about a man who had his father's wife. And the church there was not conducting themselves the way that they should have conducted themselves. Look at what he says. 1 Corinthians 5, beginning of verse 1. I don't want to believe what I'm hearing, that there's sexual sin among you, and such a bad kind of sexual sin that not even those who have never known God allow it. People say that a man there has his father's wife. And still, you're proud of yourselves. You should have been filled with sadness. The man who committed such sin should be put out of your group. I can't be there with you in person, but I am with you in spirit. And I've already judged the man who did this. I judged him the same as I would as if I were really there. Come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be with you in the spirit. You'll have the power of our Lord Jesus with you. Turn this man over to Satan. His sinful self needs to be destroyed so that his spirit will be saved in the day when the Lord comes again. And you know, in the final analysis, it's always God himself who executes judgment. Romans, the first chapter. As you read through that, notice the number of times that God says he gave them up. They didn't want to do what they should. And God said, you're so wicked, I can't restrain you. So he gave them up. And they got worse and worse and worse. Finally, Romans, the 14th chapter, and the 10th verse, the apostle says this: why do you judge a brother or sister in Christ? Why do you think that you're better than they are? We will all stand before the judgment of God, and he will judge us all. God's wrath will be executed. And when you think about God's wrath and his anger at people who refuse him, you immediately understand that sometimes he gives people a lot of space to repent. Thankfully, he's done that for me. He's given me a lot of space to repent. Look at what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Spirit, and immediately God struck them down dead. Uzzah, 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. I take it he was a man who probably had good intention, but God said two things. He said, don't ever transport the Ark of the Covenant on a cart. It's supposed to be carried. But they transported it on an ark or on a cart. And at some point, the cart tipped, the ark was going to fall off on the ground. And so Uzzah reached up and stopped it. Didn't let it fall on the ground. God said, don't ever touch it. What happened to Uzzah? Struck him down. Now, I've done evil, and I'm no different than anybody else that's in this assembly. And thankfully, God has delayed. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Don't think that that means that he's not going to execute his wrath. He will. He just gives you time to repent. And here's the striking thing about God. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it's delayed. You ever been in the position where you're dealing with your kids or you're dealing with someone else? You don't know quite whether you should delay or just cut them off right now. God knows. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 11. The apostle discusses the judgment of God, the chastisement of God. He says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. We all had parents who did the best job that they could. Sometimes they gave us rope. Sometimes they didn't. But they were doing the best job that they could. They didn't know everything that God knows. So it's not like that with God. God knows. If he decides to give time, it's because he sees the opportunity for repentance. If he doesn't, he gives no time. Look at 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. This is a record of that describes David's reaction to Uzzah being killed immediately. In 2 Samuel 6, at verses 8 and 9, it says, David was upset because the Lord had killed Uzzah. I just don't understand sometimes why God does what he does. So he named the place Perez Uzzah. And then here's the sad part. David's response, because he didn't understand what was going on, was to become afraid of the Lord. That was not what God was trying to accomplish. But David, it says, became afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how can we bring the ark back now? God's wrath, if we don't understand it, can make us afraid of God. It shouldn't, but it can make us afraid of God. And part of this is understanding the difference between wrath that God executes for punishment and discipline that God executes in order to accomplish purity. Sometimes God is punishing Noah's victims, or Noah's flood's victims. Sodom and Gomorrah. Cities completely destroyed. The entire population of the earth wiped out, with the exception of Noah, his three sons, and their wives. Deuteronomy the ninth chapter, and at verse 8, Romans the first chapter at verse 15, Romans the second chapter at verse 5. But, you know, I'm convinced that Romans the second chapter at verses 15 and 16 summarize this idea. They show in their hearts that they know what is right and wrong. Same as the law commands, their consciences agree. Sometimes their insights tell them that they've done wrong, and this makes them guilty. Sometimes their thoughts tell them that they've done right, and this makes them not guilty. All this will happen on a day when God will judge the people's secret thoughts through Jesus Christ. This is part of the good news that I tell everyone. It's good news. Yes, God can become angry. Yes, God can punish. Never forget that God disciplines us for purity. Hebrews the 12th chapter, if you be without chastisement, then you're bastards, you're not sons. It's because God loves us. Do you ever have that happen in your life? Your mom is about to paddle you. She said, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Why does she do that? Because she loves you. And because she wants you to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. We have to run from evil. Run just as fast as we can. You know, Romans, the 12th chapter at verse 21 is an incredible statement when you think about it. Romans 12 at verse 21, he says, don't let evil defeat you. But then he says, defeat evil by doing good. God gives us the strength that we need to decide that we are not going to do evil. God gives us the strength to overcome. The cross is the ultimate demonstration. As James said this morning, it's the ultimate demonstration of God's wrath and God's strength. God always seeks repentance. Says it over and over again. Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, verses 21 and 30. If evil people change their lives, they will live and not die. They might stop doing all the bad things that they did and begin to carefully obey my laws. They might become fair and good. Family of Israel, I will judge each of you only for what you do. This is verse 30. This is what the Lord says. So come back to me. Stop committing these crimes and do away with those things that cause you to sin. God metes out judgment righteously, always appropriately, but he does mete out judgment. Zephaniah, the second chapter, verse 3. All you humble people, come to the Lord. Obey his laws. Learn to do good things. Learn to be humble. Then you'll be safe when the Lord shows his anger. Yes, our God executes judgment. Our God gives us a way to avoid it. That's what's important. Don't be like David. Don't get mad when God executes judgment. Do good.